shall lies the King in a manger soft. More than a dream of the shepherd's love, more than the stars that you
this morning. Now we're in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at these scriptures today. You got your Bible there. And by the way, we lost one of our heating, cooling units this week on this side over here, the west side. So this side of the auditorium is a little cooler than this side. So I would suggest if you're usually hot in church, sit over here and sit on this side. And if you're usually cold in church, you come over on this side. And Baptists should be happy. Amen. But anyway, hopefully we get that fixed soon here. I want to speak this morning on the subject, hearing God's message. Hearing God's message. Can you hear me okay? It seems like a little loud. Is it a little loud out front? It might be a little loud on the platform here. Just an inkling, Tom, if you can help us there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church. Speak to our hearts from your word now. God, we need to hear your word. Faith cometh by hearing. And that's not just salvation faith. That's living faith. That's walking faith. That's faith, and I pray, God, that you'll please speak through me this morning, and may your word be exalted. May you fill us, both speaker and listener, with your spirit, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A little too much down, a little back up, that was a little too much. 2 weeks ago, I started what is going to be a series from 1 and 2 Thessalonians on the subject of your faith. And then last week, we had Brother Bishop, of course, and today's the last Sunday before Christmas Day, so I thought, well, we'll go with a little bit of a Christmas message, and then I'm going to get back to the series from 1 and 2 Thessalonians probably next Sunday. There is a message in God's Word that is Christmas-related, and yet I believe very pertinent for you and me in this time. I love the Christmas season. I've said that umpteen times over the years. I love all the aspects of it. I love the decorations. I love the holiday foods. I love the lights. I love the holiday foods. I love the trees. Did I mention the holiday foods? They mentioned them. I'm so glad there is a day set aside. I know it's not December 25th, was not Christ's birthday, but I'm so glad there's a day set aside to honor the single most important birth that ever took place on planet Earth. More important than mine, more important than yours, is the birth of the Lord Jesus. In my opinion, IMO for you texters, all right? Joseph is probably the most overlooked of all the characters in the Christmas story. Seems like the shepherds get more notoriety than Joseph. Most times, you know, it's normal for women and their newborn babies to be in the spotlight. I guess that's how it's been. That's how it always will be. Everybody's interested in that. Yesterday morning, I stopped by Brother Luke's house to drop off something there. And they had their kitchen done, and so when they moved in the house, and so I took a minute to see the kitchen, and I took a picture. I took two pictures because I thought, man, this is really nice. And I sent it to my wife, and I said, look at this kitchen. And she texted back, nice, but where's the baby? The baby was where it was. I don't know. It was... look at this kitchen. I think the kitchen is cool. It looks neat. But I kind of feel as if, you know, some attention and some recognition should go to the dad. It's not an easy thing, this task of being there when the babies are born. That is not the simplest thing in the world. And, do you agree with that, fellas? Amen. That's right. Okay. Brother Gellis, you agree with that? You'll be there soon. But anyway, never mind. Okay, so, I remember Joyce and me were going. I think it was Kelly Minkowski. I think it was Kelly. We went down to see Kelly after she had one of the babies, and we were walking to the room where Kelly was, and you go through the labor and delivery, and the closer we got to labor and delivery, my wife was groaning. Oh, I think she was reliving. I turned and said, oh, come on, it's not that bad. But anyway, the look that I received was pretty bad. But anyway, seriously, not much is said about Joseph in the Bible because not much is said about Joseph. Some people think that he died early in life. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. We don't know that. We do know that Mary was mentioned alone as being at the wedding feast in Cana. We know that she was mentioned alone as being at the cross of Calvary and other places. So possibly Joseph did die at a young age. We know this from the text about Joseph in verse number 19. We know that he was a just man. The Bible says that, being a just man. Verse number 19, I think we also know that he was a merciful man. You know, he didn't want to make Mary a public example. That's merciful, isn't it? And, of course, what he was thinking at the time. And then in verse number 20, we know he was a thinking man while he thought on these things. That's not, you can't take that for granted anymore. A lot of people don't think. Just take whatever the government or the TV feeds them. And that they process it as truth. But he was a thinking man. Verse 24, he was an obedient man. Then Joseph, being raised from the dead, from sleep, did as the angel... I don't know how I got that in there. Did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So he obeyed. Next, verse 24, he was a courageous man. A courageous man. He took unto him Mary to be his wife under the circumstances. In verse 25, he was a temperate man. You know what the word temperate means? Self-controlled. Look at verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. No physical relationship with his wife until Jesus was born. So he's a temperate man. So there's a lot we learn about Joseph just in these few short verses here in Matthew chapter 1. And now, Joseph is not mentioned by name after Luke chapter 2 when, the Bible says that him and Mary went back to Jerusalem, and when Jesus had been, they thought he was in the group traveling back to Nazareth, and he wasn't there for 3 days, and so Joseph is not mentioned after Luke chapter 2 as being involved in Jesus' life. Now, one thing stands out about Joseph. It involves something that is mentioned four times. Four times. Chapter 1, verse number 20. Notice the words. Chapter 1, verse number 20. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. Chapter 2, verse 19, the scripture says, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph. And then chapter 2, verse number 22, the Bible says, Joseph being warned of God in a dream. Four times. Not one event mentioned by all four gospel writers, four different instances where God was able to get a message to Joseph when Joseph needed it. Mary and baby Jesus' livelihood, their well-being, hinged on the fact that God could get a message to Joseph. This was critically important for this family. And by the way, it's still critically important for God to be able to get a message to you and me in this day. Now, messages come in different manner than they did in Joseph's day. Back then, the Bible was not completed. It was still being revealed bit by bit to mankind. Here a little, there a little. In those days, these days, here, Matthew 1, God's Word came in dreams. God's Word came in visions. You say, oh yeah, I had one the last week. No, you didn't. You might have had a dream, but it wasn't God's Word. Because today we have the completed revelation of God's Word in our Bible. Our Bible does for us, or should do for us, what these dreams did for Joseph. Okay? Our Bible, God should be able to get a message to us when we need it. Now, four messages Joseph was in a position to receive. Let's look at them quickly this morning. Number one, it was a message of confirmation in a time of confusion. A message of confirmation in a time of confusion. This is the message in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 that we read just a little bit ago for our text. What was the message? Mary's expecting. How disappointing and confusing this must have been for Joseph. Her story was that an angel had appeared to her and given her this news. And I would imagine that Joseph was aware of the prophecies about the Christ child, especially the one from Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesied that the baby would be born of a virgin. And he believed Mary was a virgin. Virgin. Was she? Or was she being untruthful? Now, don't get down on Joseph for having these thoughts. He's engaged to this girl. He's had no relationship with her. Now she's expecting a baby. He was really struggling with this to the point that he was thinking of calling off the engagement. He was going to do it mercifully. He was going to put her away. He was going to do it privately rather than publicly just to have mercy on her. And the Bible says while he thought on these things, so all of this confusion mulling around in his mind, he's heartbroken, he's confused, he's still hopeful maybe, he's desiring to trust the woman that he loves, but all of these questions are sweeping over him, and then like a ray of sunshine bursting through a cloud cover, confirmation came by way of this message from God through the angel. It's okay. It's okay. Take Mary as your wife. The baby is the Son of God and has been conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph was put at ease by this message of confirmation that he got in a time of confusion. And people, there will be times in our lives when we will need confirmation about some part of God's will. You know, big decisions cannot be made on emotion. Big decisions can't be made on feeling. There has to be something solid to go on, and you cannot get any more solid than the Word of God. Can God get a message to you? Can God get a message to me? In a time of confusion, in a time of despair, if you will, a message of confirmation. Can he get that too? In this case, an engaged man was questioning his decision to marry. And I tell you what, that's a pretty important decision. For all you young people, that's the second most important decision you'll ever make in life. Who you marry. The first decision being to trust Christ as your Savior. This decision on who you marry is of the utmost importance. And brother, you need God's confirmation about who you marry. You know, in times of confusion, in times of uncertainty, the Word of God can bring certainty to our decisions if we are in a position to receive the message. We have to be able to get it. I think I've said before, you know, right under my salvation experience as far as blessed experiences when it comes to my relationship with the Lord, right after salvation is the call to preach that God put on my life back in June of 1976. I've been saved less than a year at the time, about 9 months, to 8 months. And we were in Florida presenting the ministry of Shepherd Lane Boys Ranch to a church outside of Jacksonville. And I don't remember the name of the church. I don't remember the name of the suburb. I just remember it was outside of Jacksonville. And we got to church early for the evening service. And back in those days, a lot of Baptist churches had what was called Baptist Training Union. It was at night. It was like Sunday school at night, except for the classes were not broken up into real small groups. They were larger groups, kind of like our King's Kids and TNT and so forth, and those type of things. And so we got there in time for Baptist Training Union, and that night they were bringing all the classes in together for one service in the auditorium before the preaching service. And this young man had just finished his first year at Bible college, I'm guessing probably Tennessee Temple back in those days. And the pastor had this 19-year-old young man preach the message for Baptist Training Union. And I remember sitting on the front row. We got there, we came down to the front, got our seats, and I was sitting on the front row. And he started preaching, and I'm telling you what, man, he reared back and he was preaching away. And as I was sitting there trying to absorb the message from that young man, from God's Word, something began working inside of my heart. I should say someone began working inside of my heart. And I had this strange and unusual sensation, impression on my heart that God, this is what God wants me to do. And I don't know. This is what I want you to do. And that impression on my heart would not go away. We finished that service. There was a 15-minute break between that service and the main service of the evening. And I went out the auditorium and turned to my right. I still can relive this. Went down a hallway. There were little classrooms and so forth. And there was one door that was unlocked. I went inside, locked the door. The light was off. I got on a chair there on my knees. And I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not sure what you want. I don't think I can do it. But if you're calling me to preach, I want to obey you. I just have to have confirmation from your word. That's what I said. And then I don't know why I said this. I said, I need it within 2 weeks. I don't know why I said that. And so I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say anything to Brother Mike Hagee. I didn't say anything to any of the other boys. I didn't go forward at the church and make a public decision. I got in the van after the service. We traveled back to Tennessee. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, we went to church. Sitting there in church, our pastor was out of town. There was a guest speaker, to be honest with you. If I remember right, he was boring. And he read his text from 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And I'm just reading along. And so he prays and he starts preaching. And he's preaching away. And I'm sitting there listening. And in his sermon, he said, now look at verse number 10. And so I did. And he's reading, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And after that, he said, look down at verse number 20. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, what did he say after that? I have no idea. because I'm just staring at those verses and I get the context, people. I know he's talking about the physical building of the temple. I know that the work he's talking about Solomon doing is overseeing the construction of that temple. I get the context. But I do know also how God was making application of his word to my heart. Son, I have chosen thee. Be strong and do it. Before I was going to make a decision publicly to surrender my life to gospel ministry, I wanted to have some confirmation from the Word of God. Can God get a message to us of confirmation in a time of confusion? People, confusing times could be straight ahead of us. Right ahead of us. As in a month or 6 weeks or so. When do we obey government commands? When do we need to obey God rather than government? And you're going to hear good people on both sides of that issue. But I'm just going to say this. I believe with all of my heart that God will not leave us in a time of uncertainty. He will not leave us in a time of confusion. God will get a message to us confirming His will to those who are in a position to receive it. And it will be from His Word. It will be from this book. It may come by way of a devotion that you read out of the Baptist bread. It may come by way of scripture that you read quietly to yourself as you sit with God's Word open. It may be sitting in one of these pews or a chair in a Sunday school class. It may be something, message that you're listening to on the radio as you travel to work, commuting. But look, God will get messages to us when we need them, just like He did to Joseph in this day. He'll get message of confirmation in times of confusion. But that's not all. There is a second message here to Joseph found in chapter 2, verse number 13. Here the Bible says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word." Now, this is a message of protection in a time of danger. A message of protection in a time of danger. Look, unbeknownst to Joseph, Herod's deadly edict was coming down the pipeline. This odious king, the Roman king, who sat on the throne, he ordered all the children 2 years of age and younger to be killed. Now, people think of that. There are 2-year-olds toddling around back there in our nursery. Think of a parent in this church holding a 2-year-old in their arm and a Roman soldier or some United States soldier ripping that baby out of the arms of their parent and killing them. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. That happened. By the way, it was a prophetical fulfillment. The Old Testament had prophesied this. God got a message to Joseph just in time to get the young child Jesus out of danger. And parents, I want you to look carefully at what the angel told Joseph at the end of verse number 13. Look at what it says. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The person in the crosshairs was not Joseph. The person in the crosshairs was not Mary. The person in the crosshairs was the young child. And can I tell you, friend, there are many in our world today who are seeking to destroy our kids. And the danger is not so much physically, but spiritually and mentally. The attempt to brainwash our children with humanistic philosophy is at an all-time high. The messages that are sent through the medium of television and radio advertisements, as well as movies and programs, is anti-biblical, it's anti-American, and I'll be honest with you, church, it's anti-natural. The tsunami of sodomite material being promoted by way of advertisement and pictures, this is natural. It is not natural. It is so unnatural, animals don't practice it. Much less humans. And we are being bombarded. And the parent who just turns their child over to the conventional wisdom of this humanistic world is doing their child a great disservice. Parents need to have an ear for God's message of protection for their children. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Children should not be left to themselves to decide what programs, what shows, what movies they will watch. Children who are reared by social media and public forums of entertainment will be in danger of destruction. Mentally, there will be things that God will warn you about when it comes to the danger your children face in this wicked world. Don't leave them on their own to make those decisions. Be the parent that God made you to be. Children need parents. They need parents. That's a given. But can I add, more importantly, children need parents who are in tune with God. Children need parents who are in a position to hear messages that God sends to the parent about the child's protection. And dads, I'm especially talking to you this morning. Especially talking to you. Live in a way so that God can get a message to you, if necessary, when your children need you to protect them. They will need someone to listen to God for help with their friendships, their music, their choices. A child is one wrong choice away from trouble. One wrong choice. And by the way, it doesn't end when they're 15. It doesn't end when they're 18. If they're living under my roof, I am still responsible for that young child, that young person, young adult in some cases. And it ought to be that I live in a position where God can get a message to me about one of my children if need be. I remember one of my daughters here in the room this morning. And she was in Bible college at the time. So she's probably, she goes at 18 and was there for a couple of years. And my wife and I, we thought, man, we're going to have to beat the boys away from her with a stick. Because, they don't date during their teenage years. But when they get to Bible college, man, get after it. Okay, that's the time to do it. So we were ready for that. So she went the whole first year, not really any boyfriend. Whole second year, not really any boyfriend. So we're into the junior year, and it's Christmas time, coming up on Christmas time. And she calls and asks me, Dad, can I come home every weekend second semester? I thought, that's odd. You've been there 2.5 years. You've always stayed up there on weekends. Why do you want to start coming home? I was pondering it, And I said to my wife, I said, she wants to come home on weekends. I don't get it. And she said, Terry, that's her polite way of saying, hey, Goofy. Oh, yeah, Terry. Friday night is date night. And she doesn't have a boyfriend. And it's uncomfortable for her. Okay. All right. I get it. Well, lo and behold, the closer we got to Christmas vacation, she started getting these notes and these things from this boy up there. And when I asked her who it was, she was all excited because the boy was paying attention to her. And that's normal for ladies. She was all excited about it. And I said, who is it? And as soon as she told me the name, the Lord said in my heart, it's not going to work. Not going to work. She came home for Christmas, and she's all a Twitter. Before there was Twitter, she was all a Twitter. Because she had this little stuffed animal, and, oh, so-and-so gave it to me. And okay, here we go. This can't go any further. So I had to sit her down and say, look, this ain't happening. This ain't happening. And there were tears That particular child never misses an opportunity to cry. And so there were tears. And dads don't make their daughters cry on purpose. And I said, it's not going to work. Not going to happen. And either I'm going to tell him or you're going to tell him, but it ain't going to happen. She said, I'll tell him. I never saw a more disappointed young lady the rest of that whole Christmas season. That bright, beaming smile was not as prevalent as it usually is. And then we had New Year's Eve service. And we had it with First Baptist Church in Dwight. We had 8 o'clock preaching. We had 9 o'clock meal over there. And we went to the ice rink in Kankakee. We skated from tent. Some of you skated. I watched. That's a safe place to be at the ice rink. I skated from 10 till midnight. Remember that? Did that 2 or 3 times. And First Baptist from Dwight came over. And I'm standing there with Brother Woodward. We're watching everybody skate and just talking, having a good time. And there's our kids, and there's his kids, and his daughters, and my kids. And, you know, and they're round and round and round. And there's Leah, and there's Rebecca. And there's, I think, Ben was home. Ben was home that year. Ben was there. And there goes Abby. And then there goes Abby and Alan. And there goes Abby and Alan. And there goes Alan. I'm saying, yes. That's good, huh? Yes. I said to Brother Woodward, I said, look at this. Look at this. I said, can you help me with it? He said, no problem. Somehow she got home before Joyce was home watching Max and Kenna. They were little bitty babies. And she got to the house before I did. And Joyce said, she came in, Mom, guess who I skated with tonight? Who'd you skate with? Alan Miller. He's a nice guy, but I don't know he's that, okay? So, she believes he is. And today here we sit. A happily married couple. Now, that's God's grace. But Dad, parents, you got to be in a position where God can get a message to you. You listening? You got to be in a message where in a time of danger, God can get a word of protection about your child. I'm not talking about, maybe physical danger is included, but I'm talking about their life. Joseph, take this boy, take this young child, take him to Egypt. And take him now. Because Herod is going to seek to destroy him. Do not put your parenting on cruise control. Do not turn it over to the idiot box. Do not turn it over to the screen, on the tablet, the computer. Take your children under your wing and stay in a position where God can get a message to you. Look, I believe this with all of my heart. If you come with your Bible open and a spirit ready to have God speak to you, I could be preaching on this topic over here from His Word, but God can take it, the Spirit of God can take it and apply it to something you need then and now. Just got to be in a position to get it. By the way, folks, have a little bit of mercy on me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, man, you were rough on people sleeping. Faith cometh by hearing. You can't get help if you don't hear. And you're not going to hear through your sleep. That's why it's not me. I'm not that important. But this message is vitally important. So that's not it. That's the third one. Third message, chapter 2, verse 19. You got your scripture there, chapter 2, verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So now he is in Egypt. He's been there. So Joseph is in a position now to get a message of direction in a time of waiting. Waiting. Because go back to verse number 13 in chapter 2, verse number 13, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. You go to Egypt and you wait there. So he is in a time of waiting. People, live the Word of God. Don't you imagine it was a little difficult for this young Jewish family to go to Egypt and stay there? That was not their home. Their home was in Nazareth. And yet Joseph obeyed the will of God, and God gave him direction for the next step in his life. Waiting is not easy when you need to make a decision. But waiting is necessary sometimes to get the direction of God. And can I say this morning? God will not give a message of direction to someone who is not willing to patiently wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know what? The person who is in the best position to get direction from the Lord about the next step in life is the one who is actively obeying the Lord concerning the last direction they got from Him. That's how you get the next step. You go to a step in God's will and you wait. And you wait patiently and you obey the Lord and serve the Lord while you're waiting. You can't just go somewhere in the next step in God's direction and then quit serving Him. You're not in a position to hear the message about the next step. God's not going to give a message of direction to somebody who's not willing to patiently obey, wait on the Lord. I think about you high school seniors. You know, all of you are waiting on the Lord for direction concerning your next step. You know, the way to receive direction is to be actively serving the Lord while you are waiting on God's direction. I recall a conversation Brother Mick had some years ago with a senior who was graduating, and he was kind of conversing with him about his next step. Where are you going to go to school? And the young man said, I'm going to go to this college. And Mick said, are you sure? Oh, yes, sir. God's will. It's God's will. I know it's God's will. He was adamant. It's God's will. I know it's God's will. I know it's God's will. So that was the end of that part of the conversation. They talked about some other things. And Brother Mick asked him the question we always ask the kids, how's your Bible reading going? And the young man said, oh, I haven't read the Bible in 6 months. Somebody who has not picked up a copy of this book and read it in 6 months cannot be sure of the next step in God's will. That doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. The person who is in the best position, you know, you teenagers, you high school seniors, you want to be in the best position possible to get God's direction for your next step. Right where you are right now, you have your devotions. You read this book a little bit. You pray. You obey your parents. You live honestly. If you have a job, you work hard. You live clean. You keep your mind pure and your heart pure. And I'm going to tell you what, God will come through with the direction for the next step. You patiently wait. But you don't sit down and quit on God while you're waiting. I think of you college students. Some of you are back this morning, college students, others in other places. And, you know, what's on the college student's mind? Well, they want to know God's will for their next step. What do, college student? You keep doing what you know you are supposed to do until God sends the message. Serve the Lord with your life. Serve in your local church. That's what you should be doing while you're waiting. You know, it blesses me to see college students come home for some, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas break, and the first opportunity they have to serve in church, you find them involved somewhere. I saw that yesterday. College students who came into town, home on vacation, and yet immediately they're here helping in this bus ministry Christmas. And look, I know that some colleges promote that kind of thing and others do not. And I think it's healthier to go to a college that promotes that than one that doesn't. But look, it should not require a college to promote you serving God. That ought to be something that's down inside of you. I don't know what I'm going to do specifically with my life someday for God, but I know this. I'm going to serve Him. So while I wait on the specifics of the next step, I'm going to stay involved while I wait, serving God. Joseph went down to Egypt and he waited. And the direction came. Go to get out of Egypt and get out of Egypt now. Young people pursuing the will of God in post-high school or high school Christian education, you need to be serving God in order to receive God's next message of direction. Just wait on Him patiently. Lastly, the fourth message is found in chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Look at it here. The Bible says, "But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he, Joseph, was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene." Fourth message, a message of instruction in a time of fear. Fear. Herod, dead. Archelaus, his son, reigning in his place. Joseph was fearful of returning through Jerusalem with the heir of the last king ruling on the throne. It was a fearful thing. He knew he had to go out of Egypt. But he did not want to go through Jerusalem. "I'm scared for my son's sake." Do you know, people, often the greatest fear is the fear of the what? Unknown. Certainly there is much unknown about the future, both the near future and the far future for you and me right now. And with that much unknown about life, fear is possible unless God's clear message of instruction can get through to us. Take your Bible sometime if you just want to study a little bit on something that will be a help to you. Look up the words "fear not" in the Word of God and see how many times the words "fear not" are followed by some detailed instruction. Back in the very first message, when Joseph was thinking, should I put Mary away or not? The angel said, "Fear not, take unto thee Mary to be thy wife." So he wasn't certain, but here was some instruction from God in a time of fear. And people, look, the instruction or promise was God's way of eliminating the fear. Here's why you don't need to fear. This is what I want you to do. Instruction. Instruction. I remember the illustration I'll close with and get real close to closing, okay? We're okay this morning, right? Okay? Brother Fugit was in Bible college at Tennessee. Brother Fugit was raised in the hollers of Kentucky, where they piped the sunshine in and the moonshine out. And his dad was not a moonshiner. He was a Baptist preacher, Sam Fugit. Hazard, Kentucky. Brother Fugit had never been anywhere. He had traveled a few places with his dad outside of the state, but nowhere. They didn't go very often. In fact, they had a trip one day where they took some of the kids to McDonald's. It was 72 miles away. The closest McDonald's, some of you would collapse if McDonald's was that far away. One of the people taking the orders behind the counter said to one of those teenage boys, "Where are y'all from?" He said, "Kentucky." He thought they'd left the state and gone somewhere. 72 miles. So Jeff Fugit went to Tennessee Temple, Chattanooga. Chattanooga's not a huge city, but it's a good-sized city and bigger than anything Brother Fugit had been to. And he's working at the carpet mills in North Georgia. And he gets word, he's a freshman, he gets word that his dad has cancer. And it's bad cancer. And so Brother Fugit returns. He leaves school, returns home to meet with his dad and his mom, his brothers. And his dad was in the hospital. And Brother Fugit went on Sunday morning, and his intention, he stayed through Sunday school, his intention was to stay with his dad. His dad was getting close. He's going to stay with his dad all the way through. And then he got to thinking, man, dad's sleeping peacefully, and if he comes out of this coma and I'm not in church, he'll come out of this thing and he'll come out of this bed and whoop me. So he went to church. And the preacher that morning preached out of Acts 27. When Paul was on the ship and the shipwreck came and the angel of God told him, "Fear not." And so Brother Fugit stayed through the service. When the invitation began, he slipped out the door, went quickly to the hospital. His dad's still in a coma. Sits on the bed beside his dying dad. says, Dad, I want you to know I went to church this morning. I was going to stay, but I felt I better go to church, and I'm glad I did. So, Dad, the pastor preached on the shipwreck when Paul was on the boat. And he talked about how the angel said to Paul, and his mind went blank. And he's sitting there. He said, the angel said to Paul, and Sam Fugit, who had been in a coma for how long, opened his eyes, looked up at his son, and said, the angel said, fear not. Went back into his coma. Here's a young 19-year-old boy, not knowing what to do. Daddy's going to die. But God has a way. God has a way of getting a message to His people when they need to hear it. Joseph's a young man. He's not a seasoned veteran. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He's not an apostle. You know what we would call him today? A layman. Just a solid man's man, just a carpenter, just a working man. But this working man was in a position to receive messages from God when he needed them most. Four times, God came to him. I look back over my life of being saved. I'm so thankful for those times when God visited me with a message from His Word concerning something I needed to know. Are you in a position to get that message, folks? How faithful God was to always deliver the exact message Joseph needed to hear. And I don't know, and you don't know, what the next 6 months of this new year will bring into our country. But I'll promise you, if we'll just stay in a position where we can hear Him, He'll be there with a message. He that hath ears to what? Hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. Let's pray. Father, I'm blessed this morning. I'm blessed to know that I don't have to go through this thing alone. I'm blessed to know that I don't have to face difficult and dangerous and uncertain and fearful circumstances in life alone. I'm thankful that You bring us messages. I pray, oh God, our hearts would be in tune with You. Our sin would be confessed. The pipeline between You and us would be open and clear, so that when we need to hear from You, we can. You speak to our hearts this morning as we approach the end of what has been for us, a very crazy year. It leaves us, Lord, with a lot of uncertainties about the future. And yet, You'll be there at the right time with a message. Help us not to miss it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who would say this morning, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, God really pricked my heart about this matter of being in a condition, a position, a place where I am ready to receive the message that God would have for me at that exact time in my life. And God spoke to me about it in a specific way. Could I see your hand this morning if that's you, wherever you're sitting across the auditorium? Amen. 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 Would there be anybody here this morning? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I died right now. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Is anybody like that? We don't have any visitors, but I'll never take for granted that everybody is born again, that somebody isn't struggling with it. Is anybody here today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're here today to be baptized, one's already come for that. Now's the time to come. But let's let the Lord speak to our hearts this morning. And let's wait on Him, and let's present ourselves and say, God, I want to be in a position so I can hear Your message when I need it. Like Joseph did 4 times as a young father. the young man in a position where he could hear the message from God. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We have the invitation song. The altar is open. Don't miss this opportunity to respond to you. The Lord, if God has spoken to your heart today, don't miss that. While we wait, I love it. I love it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And the angel of the Lord appeareth unto him. Every time he needed help, God came through. Down in Egypt, he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And the message comes. Where are you in life? What do you need? So right now, I think I'm pretty well settled. Yep, that's now. But you don't know what tomorrow would bring, or next week, or next month, or next year. So let's stay in a position to hear him. To hear him. While we wait this morning. Many have come. You let the Lord work in your heart. If you can't kneel here, kneel there. Sit in your pew. Just present yourself to God. I love the song that she's playing. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. That place where we can hear his still small voice. You know, Elijah had all the noise of the fire and the wind and the earthquake. But it wasn't until that still small voice came. Here's God's direction. Here's Joshua, scared to death of the land of Canaan. Here came God's message. Over and over and over again. Paul, be of good cheer. Fear not. Over and over, God comes through. We got to be tuned in. You know how sometimes on your radio dial, back in the days of radio, you tried to just barely adjust that tuning dial to get it so you could get a clear broadcast. And that's how we ought to live before God. So we get a clear message from his word. Dear Father, we're thankful this morning as we sang at the very beginning of the service, oh, what a Savior is the Lord Jesus, and oh, what a Father you are to bring us messages exactly at the right time when we need to hear them. Help our parents, help our families, help our senior saints, help those who are living alone. Times of uncertainty, help the young people, help the college students, the high school seniors. God, help us, please, to be in that place where you can get a message to us when we need it. In Christ's name, amen.